Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Todd Linden, I'm going to start with something that's the old, I'm going to make you feel old a little bit, but I used to crush with you in video games. So just so you know, when you were a Giant briefly, you were very good on triple play, I think 2003 or 4.
Yeah, so. Man, I should have tried that one because I was playing the 2007 MLB something or other, and I wasn't that good, but that was probably more accurate. Yeah.
So you're back with the Giants. This is your second year, right, with San Jose?
My second year with San Jose, fourth year coaching with the Giants. I was in Augusta 2 years before that.
So how did that end up? How do you end up back with them?
Just at the end of my career, my last season in 2013, I was off and on the DL a little bit, and I'd never really experienced that in my career. Been pretty healthy, and just the writing was on the wall, and it was about that time to kind of turn the page with my career, and I wanted to get into coaching, and I thought, what better way than to talk to the team that drafted me and I've spent so much time with, and I feel so loyal to. So I approached them, and they gave me a shot at it, and here I am 4 years later and enjoying every moment of it.
So you have a pretty big responsibility here. You have a very good class of prospects here, and I think especially outfield prospects. So what do you think? I'll start with those kids, with Brian Reynolds and Heath and Gio. What do you think of those guys as hitting prospects?
They're all very talented, and it's exciting to have them in their first full season here of professional baseball and for them to be at the advanced high A level. There's a lot of challenges, but I think they've adapted and caught up to the learning curve, and really I feel like that's my job. They're going to learn throughout bats and experience, but if I can in any way accelerate that learning process, accelerate that learning curve, then that's what we're looking for, because there's a sense of urgency throughout the organization and throughout every organization to move guys, you know, as quickly as they can, but not to put more on their plate than they can handle. So really just trying to bring them up to speed and hopefully I can get them to buy into an approach and listen and just really get better every day.
Brian is a top pick last year for these guys. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of attention going forward. What do you like about his approach? And he's off the numbers I see. I mean, he's having a very nice season his first time out.
Yeah, he's been great. I think he's pretty raw, which is a good thing from a player development standpoint. He's very confident in his right-handed swing, and he's very talented in his left-handed swing, being a switch hitter. But I think he's just still growing and so raw, more so left-handed than right-handed. But he's got a good approach. He's very intelligent. Comes from what he likes to refer to as the Stanford of the South in Vanderbilt University. And just a good guy. And he's going to learn. Like I said, just getting the at-bats and getting the reps, he's going to learn. And if he can be open-minded and coachable as he is, and hear me when we talk about using the middle of the field and hitting the inside part of the baseball and hunting a good pitch to hit and all these things that are important in becoming a good professional hitter that is consistent, he's going to have nothing but good things coming his way.
You have a power-hitting catcher here. I know Aramis has dealt with injuries the last couple of years have slowed him down, but I think he has 16 homers right now or something like that. What do you see in him as his future?
I mean, he's got a ton of potential as well. As you said, he's been with the organization for a few years now, and injury plague. A freak incident last year, sliding into second base to break up a double play, and he gets a knee to the eye socket, and so that was a huge setback, and I know it was very disappointing for him. But he was able to get healthy by the end of the year and go play in the fall league, and I think he really benefited from that, and he enjoyed it, and had the opportunity to play with and work with other top prospects throughout baseball. And so I think that was big for him, and just this year being healthy for the most part has been the biggest thing. Like you said, he's got 16 home runs, I think he's got 20 doubles, and he's not missing too many fastballs. So, I mean, driving the baseball to all parts of the field, and that's what we talk about. And we talk about getting a good pitch to hit and not having to give in and hit a pitcher's pitch early in an at-bat. And he's really bought in, he understands, and he's developed nicely as a professional hitter. It's just a matter of staying healthy, and I hope he can continue to do that and finish the year healthy and do what he's been doing. I think he's just under 280 with some good power numbers. So I'm very optimistic, and like I said, hopefully he stays healthy and finishes strong, and he'll be in a good place going into the next season.
Everybody asked for a sleeper prospect here. They mentioned Ryan Howard as somebody that just hits. What do you think of him, and can he stay at short? Is he going to have to move, do you think? Or
I don't know. I think he can play shortstop. He's shown that. He's got good range. He makes most all the plays, and he's got a good throwing arm. So I don't see why not. I'll leave that up to the organization. They're pretty good at making those decisions. But the bat, he's got great eye-hand coordination, and I love that he competes. He's one of the best competitors out there, and he wants it. He's a ball player. He's not out on the field because he can and he's talented. That's part of it. He's out there because he loves it and he wants to be, and like I said, a great competitor. So for me, that's a huge quality and intangible that can't really teach. So, I mean, he's hitting 320, 330. He's been there most all year. He's been consistent, always finding a way to get hits. I think with Ryan, it's a matter of him buying into getting something that he can square up and hit hard, because, shoot, if he can reach it, he can hit it. He's a little bit of a free swinger like Pablo, who's with us now, and he's got that mentality. I'm just trying to sell him on getting a good pitch that he wants to hit, and not well, that's a strike. Well, it doesn't matter if it's a strike or not. You know, it's the first pitch of the at-bat. So trying to get him to hunt a pitch and get something he can drive. But he's definitely very talented, great eye-hand coordination, and I can't say it enough. What a competitor.
That sounds like the profile that usually makes it up to San Francisco in this organization.
I believe so, because he's got talent, and he needs to be polished a little bit. But when I see that competitive nature and his love for the game, I know that breeds a winner. And I just hope he keeps it up and keeps growing and stays open-minded and continues to use the middle of the field, because I think that's where his money's going to be.
Someone we talk about a lot, because we had him in camp this year, Steven Duggar, and just, I know he hasn't been able to stay healthy this year, but the potential that the tools are there, and I think they believe he can be a center fielder at AT&T Park. What have you? I know you haven't had him too much, but this year, and I think you probably had him here last year, right?
Yeah.
So what have you seen from him as far as his potential?
Well, Dougie was here with us last year for the first half, and he was one of those guys who moved up to Double A, I think, right around the All-Star break. Chris Shaw and CJ Hinojosa, and all three of them, they've got great strike zone awareness and plate discipline, and that seems to be the common denominator on guys who can handle the jump to the next level, where there's lots of prospects, lots of arms that are chucking 95 with good off-speed stuff. And I think the sky's the limit. You look at him in the outfield, and he can play anywhere in the outfield. He can play center field. He can play both corners. He's got a good throwing arm. Does a lot of things very well. It's just a matter, he's been banged up a little bit this year, missed some time, and really getting healthy and getting the reps. I think that's all that's missing. I think he's real close, just needs to get out there and get some games in and some more at-bats under his belt, but very talented player.
You mentioned Chris Shaw. He's moved pretty quickly since he was here with you, somebody we might see later this year. I mean, the power we've heard about, I think most people who listen to this probably haven't seen him a whole lot, but what kind of power do you see from him?
He's off the charts type of power. I think before I got to meet him last year, I saw him in instructs and so on and so forth, and just reading his profile, talking about one of the best power bats in the draft and a hockey player coming from the Northeast and Boston, and he's a strong kid, and he can swing the bat, and there's no doubt about that. I think he's lived up to the tabloids, and I think once again, just with the at-bats and refining his approach and tightening that strike zone, the sky's the limit with that guy. I'm very excited to see where he's going to be here in the near future and years to come, as I'm sure most of San Francisco's fans are.
For you being back in this organization, what are your favorite memories of I know maybe didn't play as long in San Francisco as you would hope, but what are your memories of your playing career there?
Just a great venue, one of the best stadiums and settings in baseball. Sold out, packed house, fans that have a passion for the game and they know the game. Barry Bonds and Omar Vizquel and Rich Aurelia, and the list goes on and on. But just the whole thing, and really now looking back on it as being on the other side and being on the coaching staff and all the time I've spent in this organization, how loyal they are and how they work, and it really means a lot, and that's what I'm trying to convey to the players. I show up as a coach in my first year, and I know exactly what's expected. I don't have to feel anybody out. I know personalities. I know what's expected. I know I got to go out and work hard, and I got to get these players ready for the next level and for the big leagues ultimately. So I feel blessed and honored to be a part of this organization. You know, an organization that's won 3 World Series over the course of 6 years and has always been a competing organization. So I'm fortunate, and I really enjoy helping these young guys who are just out of college and explain to them about the ups and downs of the season, how to take care of themselves, how to get enough sleep and eat and use the cold tub and the Normatec and whatever else our training staff and has for them to take care of their bodies, because it's a different game than college. And I know that the emotional side, the ups and downs, you know, going from 4 for 4 thinking you're going to be in the big leagues to, you know, being 2 for 25 and thinking, shoot, am I going to finish school or what am I going to do to find a job? So just really letting them understand that I've been there. I understand they're not alone. Their teammates are feeling the same way at times or have felt the same way. And just to get better every day and keep perspective, see the big picture, see where you're going and have goals and don't get too caught up in one game or one series and the struggles and don't get overconfident when you're really swinging well.
You came back to another organization. Barry came back. What is your response story that you can tell on a podcast?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. He was always good to me, and I think good to a lot of the young guys. I remember one time being in San Diego and getting back to the team hotel, and I think there was a handful of guys on the elevator, and I snuck on. And so myself, Barry, and maybe 4 other players, and some businessman just snuck on just as the doors are closing. He kind of got in, had his head down, punched the floor that he was on, and I just saw Barry stare at him, hoping that he looked up and looking for a reaction. And the guy never did. I think he came to his floor, he got off, but I'm sure that Barry has that effect on people when they're in a small setting and all of a sudden they realize, whoa, I'm next to Barry Bonds, and I don't know if they go flush in the face or wet themselves or what, but it was just kind of funny to see that interaction.
I think he still has that effect on people. Todd, I appreciate you taking the time, and I know I didn't cover you, but I know when the release came out that you were back with the organization, Henry Schulman and the guys who have been there forever thought it was very cool. And I grew up, like I said, watching you a little bit, I thought that was cool too. So yeah. Welcome back, and I'm sure it's fun to be part of it again.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying every minute of it, and thanks for having me, Alex.
The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.